For me, one of the great gifts of liturgical prayer, which is what the Mass is, are the collects with which each Mass begins. And I think today's collect is especially beautiful because it expresses how we as Christians are to live our lives. If you have your missalette with you, I would invite you to open it to today's collect and readings. The collect begins with us addressing God, and this is the way every collect starts. And this one we say of God, He is almighty and ever-living. To say that God is almighty is our way of saying, Lord, you are the one who upholds the universe, and you govern it according to your providential love. People who are able to say that God is almighty are able to say with David in today's psalm, trust in the Lord and do good. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. This is a central theme of the Bible, that we are to trust in God. And because we are trusting in God, that then influences the way we live, because we know that God is ever living. And one of the things that we celebrate as Catholic Christians are those who have gone before us, who are now saints, and they have trusted in the Lord in such a way that they say, God, I know that you are living and that you are working in and through me and in and through your people. Those who are learning to live this way, also with David, say, I want to take delight in the Lord, and I want God to grant me the desires of our hearts. Now, what is the desire of our heart to be? Let's turn to the gospel for a minute. In that one image that Jesus uses, he talks about wine being put into new wineskins. For you see, in the ancient world, wine was put into animal skins. And as that new wine began to ferment, the gases would be emitted, which would require for the wine skin to be able to stretch. Now, if new wine was put into an old wineskin, what would the problem be? Well, that old wineskin would be hardened, right? So that it wouldn't be malleable. It wouldn't be able to stretch. So Jesus says, for us, our hearts are to be like new wineskin, that they are to be malleable, that they are to be able to respond to the movement, not of gas, thankfully, but to the movement of the Holy Spirit. And so when we pray, God, give us the desires of our heart, our collect tells us what that desire is. Almighty and ever-living God, increase our faith, hope, and charity. What are faith, hope, and charity? They are the theological virtues. What is a virtue? A virtue is kind of like the ingredients to a recipe. In order for the recipe to turn out well, the ingredients need to be put together and cooked with care. The theological virtues are the ingredients most necessary to the recipe of becoming a mature Christian. And as we grow in the virtues, as we allow the Holy Spirit to expand our hearts, like the wine expands the new wineskin, then we are able to be conformed more and more to the person of Jesus. Faith is that virtue that allows us to believe all that God has revealed to us in Holy Scripture and in the tradition. You see, these are those dimensions of theology that we cannot by human reason determine on our own. What is the central doctrine of our faith? It is that God is love and that he is Trinitarian. We cannot determine this by human reason. The only way we know this is because God has told us that this is so, and the church has for 2,000 years proclaimed it. We also believe by faith that we will face judgment, purgatory, ultimately heaven, and for some, tragically hell. And that's what Paul is getting at in the reading from 1 Corinthians. He says, I don't even really know my own heart. I don't think I have anything that is against me, but God is the one who knows, and God who is the one who in the end will judge. Well, how do we know this? We only know this by faith. But when we come to know this to be true by faith, it then allows us to move on to an understanding of something else that God says in today's psalm. He will make your vindication shine like the sun, and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. If faith is based on what God has revealed to us about himself and ourselves, hope has to do with God's promises. And what I just read is one of the most fundamental promises of Scripture. We have the hope that truth and justice will triumph. Let me say that again. We have the hope that truth and justice will triumph. Now, if you look at the world around you, you can't come to that conclusion, can you? If you look at the church, you can't necessarily come to that conclusion at times, can you, given everything that is happening now? But Christian hope affirms that darkness does not win. Christian hope affirms that the lie cannot withstand the light of truth. And then there is love. I like to say that love is the fruit of the tree that has faith as the roots, hope as the trunk, and the branches are where the fruit of grace is born. Do you remember in 1 Corinthians 13, St. Paul says that the greatest virtues are faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Why does he say that? Well, it's for this reason, beloved. In this world, we need faith and hope. And it's only as faith and hope are infused into our hearts that we can love. Now, are we going to need faith in heaven? Of course not. Because we will be in the very presence of God. Will we need hope in heaven? Of course not. Because we will experience all of God's promises coming true. Will we need love in heaven? Of course we will. Because heaven is love. Because God is love. And so while in this life we need faith and hope, it is, of course, to make us ready to spend eternity with love and in love and forever love. That is why now in our lives, the desire of our heart, above everything else, is to ask for the Holy Spirit to help us to have the kind of wineskin that grows in faith, hope, and charity. And as we come to this place, as we live with this perspective, we will also say with King David, and I would invite you to look at the last paragraph of today's psalm, these words, "The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their refuge in time of trouble." That's good for us to hear right now, church. He is our refuge in this time of crisis, in this time of trouble. "The Lord helps them and rescues them from the wicked." That's also important to hear. He rescues us from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. "Deliverance from all evil and eternity spent beholding the beauty of the Lord is what God promises." That's worth getting up for in the morning, people. That's worth giving your life for. So let us ask for the Holy Spirit to increase within our expansive hearts the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love, and thus live with great presence and purpose in the present, so that one day we will live with Jesus forever.